At that time, who was interested in a young couple making an 80-mile journey south from Nazareth? What could possibly be more important than Rome's decisions made by Caesar at the head of his empire, or his puppet Herod's edicts in Judea? Who cared about a poor Jewish baby born in a Bethlehem barn? God did. God cared. With that in mind, let's take a fresh look at the birth of that blessed baby in Bethlehem's manger just over 2,000 years ago, shall we? Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Luke chapter 2. The first three Gospels give us a interesting insight, each of them unique and separate and distinct from the others. But Luke's account, who was a formidable historian as well as a physician, records chapter 2 and verse 1, "In those days Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. It was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth, where he obviously was the village carpenter, in Galilee, and made the journey to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. And there he went to register with Mary, who was pledged, literally betrothed, to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born." The most unexpected of circumstances. I'm sure all of her arrangements had been made in Nazareth that family and midwives would be in attendance. And now it appears that Caesar Augustus has demanded something of them that was almost impossible. A week-long journey on the back of a donkey by a young teenage girl who was 9 months pregnant. And coming to their ancestral home land, they found no room for them in the inn. She gave birth there, verse 7, to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in strips of cloth, literally, and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The Son of God born into a feeding trough for animals. Could there have been a more humble birth? Why do we despise our poverty so much when the Son of God was born into such abject poverty as we have never experienced? And yet there is not one word of complaint about his social situation, his economic deprivation. He came with a single purpose in mind, to save mankind from their sins. And he is the light of the world. He encourages us to live our lives with such focus that God is all important to us, and there is nothing more important than the pursuit of God. While there may not have been any room in the inn for the Lord Jesus, I have swung wide open the doors of my heart to make him welcome in the house of my heart. I pray that you would do the same. It says as well in verse 8 that there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. How many people in the ancient pagan world were getting ready to celebrate the winter solstice? But no one was looking up at Bethlehem's star. No one was anticipating the glory of the Lord shining around a collection of shepherds out in the field tending lambs. And it says they were terrified. Oh, where is the fear of the Lord in the hearts of the Christian community today? Have we lost that healthy fear, reverence, awe, and respect? Have we come to take so for granted our Christmas traditions that we forget what the Bible says about the celebration of the first Christmas? But the angel of the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. Salvation is not for the rich. It's not just for the poor. It is not for the elite or the black or the white or the Hispanic. It is the good news for all of mankind. Every one of us has been invited into the kingdom of God. And it is entered into by way of this precious babe born in Bethlehem's manger who would grow up and give his life for you and I, being crucified on the cross to pay the penalty that your sins and mine deserved. The angel said, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Christ is the Greek word for Messiah. He is the one who will save us from our sins. That's why the angel said he was to be named Jesus. There is one great need amongst all men today on planet Earth. The need to be saved. To know the Lord God Almighty. My son and myself were in the car day before yesterday driving around. I thought it was time to start my Christmas shopping. We noticed the bumper sticker of the guy in front of us who said, I'm okay without God. Really? Who's going to atone for your sins? I wondered. You're okay without God. What gives your life meaning and purpose and direction if you don't know the God who created the planet that you live on, who created the air that you breathe, who created the water that you drink? If you don't know Him, what purpose do you think that life has? Where do you get your direction? Who gives you hope? Who comforts you in eternal, everlasting arms? I was hoping the light would stay red long enough for me to knock on his window and said, can I talk about your bumper sticker a little bit? He sped off into an eternity without Christ. Bumper sticker theology is interesting, isn't it? I hope you get your theology from God's Word and not bumper stickers. And I hope that your faith is firmly placed in Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. Think about it. If Christ had not come, we wouldn't have a Christian calendar. There would be no Christmas, no celebration. All of our hymns would be gone because there would be nothing to write them about. There would be no Christmas carols. There would be no Christmas season. I guess we would be celebrating the winter solstice. Or Kwanzaa. Or Boxing Day up in Canada. But Christ, where is He? Can I tell you that Christ is the pivot point of all of human history? That He was the one that we anticipated that would come and save us from our sins. And His coming would be for all of the people. Christ the Lord. Verse 12, this will be a sign to you shepherds. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a feeding trough for animals. Bethlehem, a very small town of probably less than a couple of hundred inhabitants. You wouldn't have to go far to find the town enclosure where travelers kept their animals while they were en route to another destination. And there in this common feeding ground, they would find a baby in a Bethlehem's manger. And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. God's favor rests upon all of mankind because He gave us the gift of His Son Jesus. Jesus was given so that all of mankind might be saved. The young, the old, the rich, the poor, the haves, the have-nots, the Democrats, the Republicans, the independents. Everybody on the planet needs the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice the angels were quick to break out in praise and worship. That's what, to me, the singing of Christmas carols is all about. It's an opportunity for you and I to sing the very same words that angels sang in a shepherd's field outside of Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Our voices join with theirs, and in my heart's eye, I can see 100 million angels mouthing the words that we sing in our Christmas carols. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. That's what Christ died to give us. Peace between us and God. Our sins had separated us from the God who made us. Your sins separate you. Christ came and removed the barrier. He paid the price that our sins deserve. He gave himself so that you and I might have peace with God. This last week, going to Walmart several times for different food items, last minute gifts, the one thing I strangely noticed was missing was peace. Lots of pushing and shoving and lots of grabbing of this and lots of people irritated at checkout stands. And, you know, I tried just smiling at them from time to time. And you would think that I had done something indecent. They lower their heads and they growl and they grouse and they just can't seem to get it together. And I wonder, have you become so involved in our traditions that you have forgotten the peace that Christ died to give us? Where's your peace at tonight? Is your heart right with God? Have you confessed your sins to the only one that can forgive them? Have you asked Christ to be Lord and Savior? Have you received God's Christmas gift? Do you give God praise and honor and glory in the celebration of our songs in praise and worship? When the angels had left them, verse 15, and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. Can I tell you, when you meet Jesus, you want to introduce him to everybody you know. When he's sitting on the throne of your life, when you've experienced the love, the grace, the forgiveness, you want everyone to feel as good as you do. And you tell them about Jesus, like the shepherds did, spreading the word concerning what the angels had told them. And all who heard the story were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. You and I should stand in amazement tonight that God's plan that resulted in the salvation of you and I began before time began. He knew that he would send his son. And he was born in human likeness into the most humble of circumstances. And while Mary may have been tempted that night to throw a pity party and say, "Oh, mom's not here. The midwife that I'd planned isn't here. Joseph's doing the best he can, but he is just a guy." How many babies had Joseph brought into the world? And yet God was there in the midst of it all. That first night, that first Christmas. And while she might have been tempted to despise all that had been happening to her, so much beyond her control, it says in verse 19, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Do you treasure the Lord Jesus and your relationship with him? Do you treasure the present that God gave you that first Christmas when he gave us his own son, born a babe in Bethlehem's manger? Later on, perhaps a year, up to 2 years later, when the wise men came to visit the Christ child, when he was living in a rented house then and was described as a young child, no longer an infant, according to the Gospel of Matthew, the wise men brought their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. We give people that we love gifts at Christmas, not because of the gifts that the wise men brought baby Jesus with their gifts of gold and precious aromatic fragrances. I do not have the money to buy such fancy gifts. But we give our gifts to loved ones because of God's infinitely greater gift of love to us, Jesus. The prophet in the Old Testament said he would be called Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. Jesus is God in the flesh. God in the flesh. Born a babe in Bethlehem's manger. The angel said his name was to be named Jesus. And I always thought it was curious that a good Jewish baby would be given a good Greek name. Jesus? That's a Greek name. He came to save Jew and Gentile alike. And I am grateful I do not have a drop of Jewish blood in my veins. But he came just as much for me as the nation of Israel. He came to save us all from our sins. God's gift to man that first Christmas was the offer of forgiveness and love and grace and mercy. And it is ours to accept if we will just relinquish control of our lives to him. Confess our sins. Ask him to be your Lord and Savior. And Jesus will. Our gifts of love are simply a reflection of God's magnificent gift in the giving of his Son, so that our sins might be forgiven and our lives might have meaning and purpose and direction. I love it. Now, because of what Christ did, the captives are in Christ set free. We who were slaves to sin have been purchased from the slave block by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ when he paid the price that our sins deserved. He died so that we might live not for self, not for the world, but for him. We who were victims now become more than conquerors. It says in John chapter 4 and verse 10, Jesus had a conversation with a Samaritan woman at the well there. And he said to that lady, "Lady, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink of water, you would have asked him. And he would have given you living water." Eternal life is the gift of God. Jesus was there dialoguing with this woman and said, "Would you like to be in a right relationship with God forever?" It was an invitation. Not only is Jesus God's best gift to mankind, but his offer of forgiveness and salvation in the Holy Spirit is a gift as well. It says in Ephesians, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." That's what gift giving at Christmas is all about. Receiving God's gifts. It is not by works salvation. It's not so that no one can boast. You and I don't merit salvation. We can't purchase it. We can't hope to be good enough or keep the law. The law served to condemn every one of us. That's why Christ came. And God, in that first Christmas, said, "Believe in my Son and all of your sins can be washed away." It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. In the last verse of the entire New Testament, the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take of the free gift of the water of life. God is here tonight offering you the gift of his Son, Jesus. What will your response be? "Jesus, you are my Lord, my God, my Savior. I confess my sins to you, and I ask that you wash me of all of my sins by your blood. I believe that you died on the cross to pay the penalty that my sins deserve. Forgive me, Lord. Take charge of my life. Take control. Turn my life around. I receive the gift, the free gift of eternal life." May we this Christmas receive the gift of God's own Son and the eternal life that only he can offer, and surrender our lives to him, to the one who came to save us from our sins, Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords. We're going to sing a few more songs. I'd like the band to come up. And we're just going to try to transport you back to that holy night 2,000 years ago when Christ was about to be born, what his parents must have felt. Let's stand together, shall we?
And weary, And I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, you have come and chosen me now. Yeah.
Language, breath and wind and spirit are all the same exact word. Holy Spirit of the living God, we pray that you would breathe new life into us as you breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life and he became a living being. Quicken us spiritually. Fill us once again, Holy Spirit, as we remember that holy night so very long ago.
Holy name.
By 6 BC, a spiritual darkness had fallen over all of the earth as world empires changed hands and nations trembled. Then a miracle. A son is born to a virgin in Bethlehem's manger. The light of the world had come into the world that he himself had created. Jesus, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, born a babe in Bethlehem's manger. 30 years later, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. We follow in his footsteps. We are the light of the world in his absence. Jesus said that to his disciples in Matthew 5:14. We are his hands. We are his feet, his mouthpiece, his light in a dark and fallen world. Jesus said, now let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That is why we celebrate Christmas with a candlelight service. Amen? Amen. If I could have my pastors come forward. They're going to go down the aisles. And we're going to keep that light shining bright. Not only in our hearts, but we will let our light so shine before men that they see that Christ is alive and well. As the candlelight is spread from one to another in this room, may we spread the knowledge of his gospel, his light, his love from one end of this fallen world to another till he comes again. Amen.
One small hand reaching out to the starlight, one small city of light, one small city of light, one king bringing his gold and
one small savior of life.
The story of God's love is not finished with the birth of the Christ child in Bethlehem. We have to see the Son of God hanging on the cross to fully understand the magnitude of the Father's love for us, and best of all, the knowledge that Jesus Christ is coming again soon, according to His own word. Not as a babe in Bethlehem's manger, but King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen? Amen. Now, if you would please extinguish your candles on your way out. Put them in the boxes at the back of the doors as you exit the sanctuary. May the Lord God Almighty bless you richly this Christmas season and keep His joy in your heart all year long. In Jesus' name, amen. Now please turn around and wish your neighbor Merry Christmas in Jesus' name.